Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Snell Nation. I'm broadcasting from the beautiful Alexandria, Louisiana, and it is hot, it is muggy, but it's also very, very beautiful, well, for the most part, aside from some of the weird wildlife and the wild horses and stuff like that. But anyway, let's talk about Juneteenth. I was going to wait until right on June the 19th to discuss this ridiculous quote-unquote holiday, but I wanted to take some time to focus more on Father's Day on June the 20th. So hey, figure, you know what, I think this is worth talking about now. So for those who don't know, you know, Juneteenth, National Independence Day, Freedom Day, Jubilee Day, Liberation Day, or Emancipation Day, however whatever you want to go with. You know, it's a holiday celebrating the emancipation of the slaves. The set date, June 19th, 1865. And that follows the announcement of General Order No. 3 by the Union Army General, General Granger, when it was officially proclaimed that the slaves were free in Texas. So what we have here, those who've listened to me before, you know how I feel about things like Black History Month. Of course, I feel it's completely pointless in its focus. It takes us down, I think, the wrong path. It's not focused on the future. It's not focused on personal improvement, you know, personal responsibility. It creates this opportunity for, of course, more pandering from a lot of our politicians, which we've seen year after year after year. And then we get this, we get Juneteenth, which on paper sounds nice, but, you know, my goodness, like when does it end with, you know, this constant, you know, slavery? I mean, if Thanos from the Avengers was real and snapped his finger and all the black people disappeared from this planet, and then people had to think back on just what are the key things they remembered about that particular race, you know, slavery would be the first thing that comes to mind, even though it's something that, you know, was essentially abolished, what, over a century and a half ago? But it's constantly just shoved down our throats at every turn, every year, throughout the year, and now we have this holiday. And it's another, it's what you would expect. It's another, you know, demand for some sort of apology tour from, you know, whites who, you know, aren't descendants of slave masters. And then you have blacks that, you know, not all of them are descendants of slaves, you know, all discussing the same talking points while avoiding a lot of the things that cause a bit of calamity in the narrative. You know, you can go on and on about the effects of slavery and, you know, that grand excuse, which I hate, the legacy of slavery. And people will go on and on about it. But then they won't discuss, you know, what happened after the emancipation. You know, they won't discuss, I think it was Dr. Thomas Sowell who talked about, hey, why not, you know, comparing the legacy of slavery against the legacy of liberalism, comparing the 100 years after the emancipation versus, you know, 50 years after, you know, the Civil Rights Act, the Fair Housing Rights Act, Voting Rights Act, all those things that happened in the 60s, and the loss of black gains that came after that, going from the 1970s forward. But we can't have that conversation. And we can constantly drone on and on, you know, about, you know, Black Wall Street. You know, we had that not too long ago where, you know, everyone was talking about that, where there's a focus on an event that happened a century ago that resulted in the deaths of a few dozen people. But at the same time, we can't talk about the 2,600 blacks that died last year at the hands of other blacks. We can't talk about black criminality. We can't talk about black on black crime. We can't talk about father absence and other things that have just decimated the black community and continues to do so and has been doing so for decades. You know, these numbers, that number of 2,600 for 1 year in regards to black on black homicide, that's been a trend for decades, several decades, to the point where the total number, the estimate is close to about 300,000 going from 1976 to now. We can't seem to talk about that. And then when you discuss, you know, post-slavery, and then you look at all the gangs that happened, especially in the early 1900s, and if you focus on, you know, 1920 to 1940, then 1940 to 1960, huge gains in the black community. And this is during a time where, you know, racism wasn't just legal or anything, it was socially acceptable. But somehow, you know, the black poverty rate was cut in half, almost cut in half, from what, 87%, you know, all the way down to 43%. You know, black unemployment, it was slowly dropping and was almost lining up with the unemployment of whites. You know, when you look at all the metrics, you look at black home ownership, blacks that were starting businesses, you look at all these gains, and it was just, the trajectory was unbelievable from 1940 to 1960. And there's a reason why so many politicians avoid talking about that period. They'll talk about all the terrible things that happened, like, say, you know, the 1980s, 1990s to now. You know, they'll talk about slavery, but they'll leave out these little pockets. And a lot of the information is there if you're willing to look. And you'll see a lot of holes in their narrative, and you'll see exactly what the agenda is. The agenda will become quite clear. So Juneteenth, you know, in my opinion, is something that should be canceled. It should be abolished. In the same way, Black History Month should be canceled and abolished, because it's pointless. It does nothing but focus on past transgressions, and it focuses on our differences rather than our similarities. We hardly ever focus on, you know, things that truly unite us. We focus on things that divide us under the banner of unity. I mean, it's quite paradoxical. I mean, it really is. We want everyone to come together, but we also want to segregate everybody. We want everyone to unite, but we want blacks to have their own space, and then we want white people to stay over here and stay away. Like, how does that make sense? I mean, it's to this day, it still blows my mind. You know, I've seen, you know, countless examples of people operating in these dual realities, you know, with all these conflicting ideologies and personality traits and just all these contradictions. But we continue to push forward, which brings us once again back to this ridiculous holiday. And you're going to see, although I've already started to see a lot of the banners on social media, and then you have businesses, of course, doing their part to pander and focused on really the money. It's the same thing, just like with Pride Month, where these businesses that did not care all of a sudden started changing to, you know, rainbow colors for a lot of their business logos and their products, that sort of thing. And then right when that month ends, every year it's the same thing. That stuff goes into trash. And then they move on to whatever the next trending thing is that could help them make more money. So, why? And I would say the why is pretty clear. It's like I said before, the divide and conquer, to keep us focused on what makes us different rather than what makes us the same, because we focus on our similarities too long. We'll start to be able to easily decipher, you know, who it is that's sticking it to all of us in the same way, rather than constantly going back and forth, you know, clashing with one another, because that's where we are now. And that's what seems to work quite well for those special interests, for our wonderful politicians. You know, Congress certainly, you know, members of Congress don't want us sitting around thinking too hard about it. Like, well, wait a minute. So we vote for you, but then Coca-Cola gives you $1 million and funds your campaign and your reelection campaigns, you know, and they have lobbyists, thousands of them, operating right in Washington, D.C., impacting our laws. I mean, it would become obvious. That high level of influence they have, our entire legislative branch has been hijacked. But we spend our time just constantly going back and forth, tussling and fighting with each other, bickering over absolutely nothing, getting excited and feeling like we've won some sort of victory over these made up, nonsensical holidays that just keeps race at the forefront of the conversation. It keeps it center stage. Not true tax reform, not campaign finance reform, not auditing the not so Federal Reserve, or, you know, or untangling big government and big business, you know, holding big pharma accountable for their many atrocities over the years. But no, we'll go back and forth and we'll get excited over some holiday where we sit around and talk about slavery again. After focusing on that all through February, holy cow, I mean, really, change the record. I mean, can we talk about something else? Can we talk about anything else other than slavery? You know, why must that be, you know, and I'm black, why must that be my legacy? No matter what I do, why must it always go back to that? So that's just a few of my thoughts on this ridiculous holiday and why I feel that it's just another ploy and it deserves to be canceled and pushed away, cast asunder in the same way as Black History Month, because it serves no true purpose, not for the people. It's not about unity. It's not about bringing people together. It's not even truly focused on freedom or anything like that. It's just focused on keeping us, our feet firmly planted in the mud, and to keep us focused on that evil sin that this country can't seem to wash its hands of, because, well, it's profitable. The race industry is a multi-billion dollar industry annually. Politicians make money from it, the race hustlers make money from it, so of course, you know, we have to keep that conversation going. And we have to avoid anything that pokes holes in the narrative. It's just like when there's this focus on, they talk about the legacy of slavery and how it impacts the education system and the performance of Black Americans in this country. And they'll say slavery, they'll say racism. But then you ask the obvious questions about, well, what about African immigrants that come over and they have to go through those same school systems, only they have even more hurdles because they don't have the language, you know, they don't understand the culture necessarily, but somehow they still overperform. The same thing with Asian immigrants as well, and a lot, pretty much almost any other immigrant that comes here, because they don't have all the propaganda, they don't have all the stigma, they don't have the toxic and corrosive culture that now permeates the Black community, tainting their view of authority, tainting their view of personal responsibility, education, family, that sort of thing. So they bring their culture with them when they come, and they outperform us. But you can't discuss that. You know, so things like this Juneteenth, it didn't take me long to, you know, it was pushed hard last year doing all the social justice, racial justice insanity that we witnessed, as a lot of our politicians and race hustlers, you know, once again patted, you know, patted Blacks on the head, as, you know, as if we're just a bunch of toddlers, that we don't understand the difference between right or wrong, we don't understand consequences, we don't understand money or, you know, anything complicated, because we're just so dumb, you know, that we need government to do everything for us. And we've become the grand excuse for the explosive growth of government. And it's all hidden under this banner of, you know, looking out for others and helping those poor black folks, you know. And at the same time, it's just interesting watching. You watch people that once fought against segregation, but then beg for it on college campuses. Blacks need their own space. Blacks need this. Blacks need that. You know, meanwhile, Asians just want to get a fair chance to be granted admission based off of their high SAT scores or what's on paper, the hard work they put in. But they can't just seem to get that. But you'll have people begging for segregation, begging for their own subjugation, you know, accepting different forms of racism and bigotry against whites, and they're okay with that. So that's just a few of the thoughts I had. You know, please, you know, drop me a message if you'd like. Let me know some of your thoughts. You can find me on, you know, on LinkedIn. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook. You know, I'd love to hear your thoughts. You know, it's just something I wanted to share about that ridiculous holiday. But anyway, I got to get going. Snow Nation out.